This episode of the Kona Edge is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you're looking for world-class carbon wheels that are UCI approved, come with a lifetime warranty and shipped free worldwide, then check out Wheel Science. Get all the performance at half the price, and when you use the coupon code KONAEDGE at checkout, you'll get an extra 10% discount. To learn more, head over to thekonaedge.com/wheels to find out more, or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels.
This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back onto this edition of the Kona Edge. My name is Brad Brown. It's good to be with you once again, and an absolute pleasure to welcome you back onto the podcast. You may be wondering, Brad, what's been going on? Well, I gave an update on the weekend. Head back one episode in the feed, and you can find out exactly what's happened, what's changed, and where we're going with the Kona Edge in the future. And the good news is, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be rolling things out back to normal service. So 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 6 weeks from now. That's the plan, but we will be rolling out regular updates between now and then. So it'll be one podcast this week, two next week, three the following week. That's how it's going to go. So make sure you stay tuned to the Kona Edge. I'm pretty excited, and hopefully you are too, that we are back. And today we get to chat to Sarah Thomas, who is from Cairns in Australia, or lives in Cairns, I should say, in Australia. She's raced on the Big Island twice, and you'll find out all about that in today's episode of the podcast. Don't forget as well, my inbox is always open. I love hearing from people around the world who are into triathlon and Ironman. Please pop me an email if you'd like to reach out, brad@thekonaedge.com, or you can slide into my DMs on social media. My personal ones, at Big Brad Brown. Those are the platform. I'm on various platforms at that. Or you can check out the Kona Edge on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's the Kona Edge, and I look forward to hearing from you. Welcome back onto the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown, and we head to Cairns in Australia now to catch up with our next guest. And it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the podcast Sarah Thomas. Sarah, welcome onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sarah, I'm excited to chat. We've chatted to one or two athletes who are based in Cairns, and I always joke there are worse places in the world to live than Cairns. It does have its advantages, but there are one or two disadvantages. One of them is obviously the swim, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. Cairns is a beautiful part of the world.
Yes, it's really, really lovely. Yeah, very, very lucky to be based there.
Sarah, tell me a little bit. That's not a full-on Aussie accent that I'm hearing. You're living in Australia, but you're not originally Australian.
No, I'm originally from Wales, and I've been in Australia now for 11 years. I came out with a backpack and basically never went home. So it's been a bit of an adventure.
Yeah, very different to Wales, that's for sure.
Yes, it is. Yeah, especially up in Cairns. Very different.
Do you consider yourself, are you still Welsh, or do you consider yourself an Aussie?
I've got dual citizenship, so I'm technically half and half.
Okay. And Sarah, tell me a little bit about growing up. I mean, were you sporty growing up? Tell me a little bit about your sporting background.
Yeah, growing up, I was always I loved sport. I was interested in all sorts of different sports, and particularly I did a bit of athletics, so running and long, like short distance running, you know, like sprints and long jump were my main things. I played hockey in high school, and then I actually played rugby union in university. So a bit of a diverse background. But yeah, it wasn't until very, very late 20s, sort of, yeah, that I decided to get into triathlon.
From a competitive perspective, I mean, those sports, the athletics and the hockey and the rugby union, were you pretty good? I mean, I know it's a tough question to ask someone, but I mean, were you competitive? What sort of level did you compete at?
I think I was fourth in Wales for long jump at one point when I was a kid. that was probably the highlight. And then hockey, we did pretty well as a team. I think I did probably state, you know, the equivalent of state hockey, and you know, rugby was something that I did in uni, and yeah, our team did pretty well, but yeah, I never sort of pursued it individually, but I was probably a little bit small to be a rugby player, to be honest.
Well, what position did you play?
I played on the wing, and they occasionally moved me into. No, I was basically give me the ball and run.
That was my job. I love it. Yeah, and I mean, long jump. Obviously, there aren't too many skills in long jump that are going to translate into long distance triathlon.
No, probably not. Yeah, I think again, like it was probably the run up that sort of propelled. Yeah, I think obviously my strength with triathlon, you know, the run is my best leg. So I think all of those things, you know, have definitely contributed to my ability now with running. But yeah, I wish I'd done something as a kid.
I think that the closest you're going to get from getting benefits from long jump in triathlon is if it's a beach start and you're running to the water. You've probably got a bit of a head start on everyone else.
I need a head start running into the water, because once I get in the water, I certainly won't have a head start.
let's talk about your introduction to triathlon. I mean, how did you get involved in the sport?
I'd heard about triathlon, and when I was in Wales, I heard about it, and it was always way too cold for me to try anything like that when I was over there. And when I got over to Australia, I thought, oh, it sounds like a good challenge. It sounds, you know, like something I'd really like to do. And I basically was like, okay, I'll just give it a go. And, I did a sprint distance race, just as a one-off, and really enjoyed it, but, you know, didn't sort of think too much of it. And then the following year, I sort of signed up for the same race again. And this time I decided to do a couple of little warm-ups, just local sprint races. And then I signed up for my first Olympic distance race, and the following year did my first 70.3. So it was a bit of a gradual, very gradual introduction to triathlon. I did a couple of 70.3s, and I ended up qualifying for the World Championships, which was held on the sunny coast in 2016. And that's probably when I started taking triathlon a little bit more seriously, rather than it just being a more of a social thing and more of a fun thing.
I think a lot of us get into the sport that way, and all of a sudden you start getting this competitiveness wells up inside you that you didn't really know existed. And I think triathlon have probably got it right as a sport, where there's a huge competitiveness amongst age groupers. I mean, in most other sports, you look at the guys who win and it's cool. I'm not there. But in triathlon, they're definitely doing something right as a sport. And when did you start getting competitive and realizing, you know what, I could start qualifying for things like Worlds 70.3 and then on to Kona later on?
I think I've always been a very competitive person. So, I think just even when I was doing it for fun, I was still competitive with the racing. And I've always, you know, touch wood, I don't want anything to go wrong, but I've always seemed to race well. Like, I, you know, some people train really well but don't race as well. I've been quite lucky in the way that perhaps, you know, in training I won't be amazing or stand out, but in races I always seem to be able to race well. So I think that's my competitiveness that comes through on the actual race day. But yeah, I think as far as, you know, taking it more seriously, it was definitely I was never expecting to qualify for Sunny Coast in 2016. And when I did, I suddenly thought, wow, you know, that maybe I should, you know, really concentrate on this and taking it a bit more seriously, and, you know, not just being a social fun thing that you have a few beers afterwards, you know, actually concentrate on it and try and recover properly, rather than it being, you know, more of a just a social thing.
One thing I love about this podcast is I chat to ordinary everyday people who are pretty good at the sport, and you are one of those, and you work for a living. It's not that you do this full time. When you decide to take it seriously, that balance is quite difficult to get right. Tell me a bit about life outside of triathlon, what you do and how do you get the balance right?
Yeah, it is difficult to balance it. And yeah, once you do start taking it a bit seriously, like, I'm pretty lucky that I work as a physiotherapist, and I work in a private clinic. So I sort of said to my boss, you know, I want to be able to train before and after work most days. And, you know, she was I've been very lucky that she's been very good and let me sort of start probably a little bit later than what she would have liked and maybe finish a little bit earlier on some days than what she would have liked so that I can get my training sessions in. But yeah, it's definitely a huge struggle and a big balancing act trying to fit in training, you know, especially when you're training for something like an Ironman, you know, trying to fit it in around full-time work is pretty difficult. And, you know, obviously your social life takes a bit of a blow and you can't do, you know, as many other things, because if you're having to fit in full-time work and full-time training, it's, yeah, there's, you don't have a lot of time for anything else, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as, I know, again, this, I think it's different for everyone, but for you in a peak sort of training block towards an Ironman or World Champs, how many hours a week do you typically train?
I think, probably, the most that I would ever get up to is about 16 or 17 hours a week. I don't think I've ever done more than that. However, I've just got myself a coach and that might change. Having previously, you know, done all my training myself up until probably, I think, gosh, I've been with probably like 2 months ago, maybe. Yeah, up until then, I was doing it all myself. I would, yeah, my biggest weeks of training would be, you know, probably 16, 17 hours. But yeah, I don't know what's going to happen now.
That experience at Worlds in 2016, is that what lit the fire for you to go further? And when Kona came on the radar, was Kona on the radar before then?
No, I had always said that I was never going to do an Ironman, a full Ironman. I said, like, you know, it's too long. I'll find the training boring. I won't enjoy it. I can't imagine, you know, being out there for that long. Can't imagine running 42 after rising 180. And I was just like, yeah, no way, never ever going to do it. And I think, it just became apparent with my triathlon that basically the longer I went, the better I was at it. So, a friend of mine basically said that, one of my training buddies said, okay, I'm going to do the full Ironman next year instead of the half. And I was like, oh no, really? And then that kind of planted the seed. And, I ended up signing up for a full Ironman, which was going to be, my first Ironman was going to be Cairns 2017. Obviously the home race. My partner was racing, in New Zealand in the March. And, I basically thought to myself, well, I'm going to be going to New Zealand to support him. So why don't I sign up for the race? So I think it was about 6 weeks out from Ironman New Zealand in 2017. I decided to sign up to, as like a practice run for Cairns, because I was feeling a bit of pressure, you know, with the home crowd and everything. And I thought, oh, if I go and have a practice run in New Zealand where no one knows me, no one's expecting me to do it, because I hadn't been expecting to do it myself. I thought it would, yeah, maybe be a good idea. So yeah, I did New Zealand in 2017 and I ended up coming third in my age group, which I completely wasn't expecting at all. So then it kind of backfired because it put even more pressure on me for Cairns, because obviously I'd missed out at that time because there was only one spot in my age group. Luckily for me, I did have a really good race at Cairns and won my age group. So that's when I qualified for Kona, and that was my third Ironman in 2017, went over to Hawaii. So that was good.
Did you go into that race in Cairns with the goal of qualifying for Kona? Was that the plan?
Oh, look, I try not to put pressure on myself like that. You know, my goal is always just go out, enjoy it, do the best that I can do on the day. And I would never, I mean, obviously secretly I knew that, especially after having come in third in New Zealand, when I went in unprepared, you know, I didn't feel like I was prepared enough. I went in with no expectation. So then to be, you know, I felt like I was properly prepared for Cairns. Obviously it's a home race. I knew the course. I'd done the 70.3 there a couple of times, which is obviously a similar course. So, you know, I knew that if I had a good race, I was in for a shot of qualifying for Kona, but I didn't want to, I didn't want to put that pressure on myself. So I was, you know, I always just go into a race. Let's just enjoy the day. Let's just see what I can do, you know, at the time. So yeah, it wasn't, I didn't sort of put it out there that was my goal, but yeah, I guess I did know that if I had a good race, I was in with a good chance.
That's pretty impressive, Sarah. From someone saying, I'm never going through an Ironman, to do three Ironmans in your first year of doing an Ironman, that's a big step up.
Yeah, it was pretty big, and I've sort of promised myself I'll never do three in 1 year ever again. So, Yeah, luckily for me, last year I just did two.
Talk to me about that first experience in Kona. It's pretty special for most people. Was it spectacular for you? Did it live up to what it's hyped to be?
Oh, look, the whole experience of going to Hawaii and going to Kona is just absolutely incredible, and I absolutely loved it. I'd been to Hawaii the year prior to that, in 2016, to support my partner who was racing, and I already knew that I loved it there. So to be able to go back and do it and actually race it myself was absolutely phenomenal. So I really enjoyed the whole experience. I actually didn't really enjoy the day of the race. Like, I just remember thinking to myself, like, this is awful. Like, there was no point of the race that I thought to myself, oh, I actually really enjoyed that bit. Like, I feel like I, you know, struggled the whole way through. It's the only race that I've had where I didn't have a great ride. I think I, you know, got my nutrition a bit wrong on the bike, and I honestly, like, didn't think I was going to be able to run coming off the bike. I was in a lot of pain, and I was feeling sick and just felt generally terrible. And I just thought to myself, I'm not going to be able to even run coming out of T2. And, yeah, anyway, just, you know, started running slowly, and within less than a kilometer, I actually started feeling good and had a really good run. So I don't know how that happened, but there was something about the bike that day that didn't like me. I had a horrific ride. Felt terrible. But yeah, I mean, the run hurt, obviously. It was obviously a hot marathon, and it's quite a challenging course as well. So I wouldn't say I felt good on the run, and I certainly wasn't expecting to have done the time that I did. But I think I was like, I think I had the sixth fastest run split in my age group or something ridiculous. So I was afterwards really, really pleased with how I went. But yeah, I just remember thinking the whole way, like, this is awful. Like, this is horrific. Yeah, but obviously it didn't deter me enough, because I went back last year. So couldn't have been that bad.
But isn't that so often the case in endurance sport, though, Sarah, where in an Olympic or a sprint distance triathlon, obviously the race is quite short, so it's easy to string together. I say it's easy, it's not easy, but the odds of you stringing together a perfect race are a lot higher than doing it on a half Ironman or a full Ironman. And so often we go through patches in an Ironman where you think to yourself, man, this sucks. Like, why am I doing this? I absolutely hate this. But you've got to push through those points, particularly if you want to be competitive, because the truth of the matter is everyone goes through those at some point on race day. And it's how you react to those situations, I think, that dictate how well the race goes at the end of the day. Do you agree with that? And what do you do to sort of get you through those patches?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think, you know, I went into Ironman sort of, you know, with the expectation that I'm going to go through those sort of feelings where you're like, what am I doing? I can't keep going. And I think, you know, if you are aware of the fact that that's only going to last for a period of time, and then you're going to come good again, it's just, you know, you can keep yourself going in that way, that, oh, eventually I'm going to come good. And, you know, it's happened to me so many times in training where you'll feel, you know, I'll feel like I actually can't keep going, but then you do somehow keep going, and then you eventually come good, and, you know, you can surprise yourself. And, you know, the number of times it's happened in training and in races previously, I think if you can just, you know, just dig deep and just keep going, you'll eventually, well, you know, hopefully you'll eventually come good. But in Kona that time, like, there was a lot of times where I was like, I've just got to get through this, I've just got to keep going. And especially on that marathon, like, I thought I was having, you know, a really, really slow run, but then you see people, you know, walking along the side of the road, and you think, well, at least I'm not walking, you know, at least I'm just going to keep going. And I thought that, you know, I was running really slowly. I was trying not to look at my Garmin, and I was like, I'm just, you know, I just want to keep going. I just want to get to the finish line. If I don't walk, you know, I'm going to get there quicker. And yeah, I really surprised myself when I looked at my actual marathon time that it was a lot faster than I thought it would be. The way I was feeling was horrific, and I honestly thought it was going to be very embarrassingly slow, but luckily for me, it wasn't.
Then you mentioned going back last year. So you've been twice. Top 10 finish last year, which I'm sure you're pretty chuffed about. But two very different races. I read that you were saying it's like chalk and cheese. It's difficult to go back to something. Sometimes it's a feeling of unfinished business. But going into a race where you didn't have the greatest of performances, or personally the way you felt the year before, to go and string together performance like you did in Kona last year, that must have been pretty satisfying. And what was the difference? What do you think you did differently that allowed you to have a better race last year?
I guess, again, going in with no expectations. I mean, I thought to myself, like, you know, I don't think I'm going to have a ride that's as bad, or hopefully I'm not going to have a ride that's as bad as what it was last year. And I think, you know, the main difference for me was the conditions. Like, we were really lucky with the conditions in Kona last year. I started out the swim and I was expecting, you know, in 2017, it was pretty horrific. Like, I couldn't get any space. There was people on top of me constantly, like, pretty much the whole way, just, you know, it was quite violent. Like, there was no space at all on the swim. I had a, you know, just really didn't enjoy the swim at all. Felt like I couldn't get into a rhythm. Whereas, I don't know why, but in 2018, I didn't have that experience. I felt like I managed to get a rhythm. I managed to get a little bit of space, for, you know, at least some of it. And, it was just, the swim was a completely different experience, really. And getting onto the bike, I think probably because of the swim, but I just felt better on the bike, and I managed my nutrition a bit better on the bike than what I had done the previous year, and just felt really, 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 really strong. And then, yeah, on the run, I think, you know, it wasn't anywhere near as hot. We didn't have the winds on the bike, which probably made me feel a bit better as well. And, I think, I don't know. I mean, obviously I had a whole extra year of experience and training, so I was probably maybe a little bit more prepared for it, you know, having, you know, it wasn't my first year of doing Ironman anymore. But predominantly, like, yeah, it just felt like a completely different race for me. Like, I just remember thinking on the bike, like, when are we going to get the wind? When are we going to get the wind? And we just didn't. And yeah, the run was, yeah, I mean, it's hot because it's Kona, but it certainly wasn't as hot as what it had been the year before. And it just, in comparison, I was like, I just felt so much better. And I just, you know, it just felt like a completely different race.
I was looking at your splits, and it just, I mean, often you can really see if someone's got one discipline that's quite a bit stronger than the others, but you're solid in all three. I mean, I think you were top 20 out of the water, and you just literally made up ground the rest of the day. It was, it's quite impressive to see. I mean, you were joking that you get stronger the longer it is. Have you considered any sort of double Ironman distance races? Because you could win this thing at that rate.
No, I don't know about that. I haven't considered that. And now you put this on my head. I don't know whether that would be something that I would actually want to do to myself.
But no. I'm with you. That's Ironman's. You got to be slightly crazy to do an Ironman, but a double, that's a different level of crazy, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I don't know if I can do that to myself. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think so. But then again, who knows?
Yeah, you did once say that you were never going to do an Ironman, so let's never say never, I suppose.
Yes, that's true.
Sarah, tell me, what does it take to qualify for Kona? I mean, we have a lot of people that listen to this podcast that are just into the sport. They love hearing the stories, but we have quite a few people who try really hard to qualify, and they year after year just miss it. What's the secret? Is there a secret?
I think, I mean, obviously working hard, but I see a lot of people that, you know, it's almost like they work too hard, you know, and I sometimes feel like saying to people, like, just, you know, be a bit more sensible with your training rather than just thinking the more the better. And, you know, that you just, it's about, I think if you're lucky enough to find a coach that really understands you, that can really, you know, pick out, you know, what you need to work on and how you need to do it, like, that's obviously, you know, the best way, I think, where you're going to get the best chance of qualifying for something like Kona. But yeah, I think a lot of people do go about it the wrong way, in my opinion. But yeah, I think it's a bit of, you know, obviously you've got to have extreme discipline, extreme determination. But yeah, you've got to kind of be quite sensible about it as well. And I think that that's something that unfortunately a lot of people don't really get.
I find it interesting that one of the things you mentioned was the coaching side of it, and you've, like you said, you've just only recently taken on a coach. What's taken you so long?
Well, I was kind of doing all right on my own, I think. I'm pretty opinionated, and I always sort of said to myself, you know, like, basically, for me to want to pay someone to coach me, I would have to completely 100% trust them. And because I have quite strong ideas about things, that's a very difficult thing for me to do. So, I think, and, you know, because I was going all right, and, you know, I'd see other people take on coaches and do things, and, you know, that sometimes I would not necessarily agree with. And then obviously I would end up doing quite well myself, having not had anyone coach me. It was just, I didn't, you know, there was just no, there was no reason for me to go, oh, hang on, there's something going wrong here. I need to get someone to help me, because obviously what I'm doing on my own is not working, because it was working quite well. And like I said, I like the fact that I would do the things that I agreed with, that I wanted to do, rather than having someone else tell me something that perhaps I wouldn't have agreed with.
So it hasn't been long now. What's the experience been like?
Yeah, just completely loving it, like really enjoying someone telling me what to do and not have to think, you know, for myself about, you know, each training session. And my training previously was quite pretty much the same week in, week out. Like, I do the same sessions on the same days, week in, week out. And after doing that for a few years, like, it's really refreshing to have some different things to do and a bit of a mixture, and just to be told, like, just go and do this and just go and do it. You know, it's like, there's no thought that has to go into it. So I'm really enjoying that. And yeah, slightly different things to what I have been doing previously as well, which is good. It keeps it fresh and yeah, keeps me motivated.
Well, obviously you taking on a coach now post the last Kona race, I'm guessing that you're not done with Kona and you've got some other ambitions. What's the plans? What are you hoping to achieve still in your triathlon career?
Yeah, like I said before, I don't ever really give myself set goals. Like, I don't ever say, like, okay, this is what I want to achieve this year. And in all honesty, like, I'm completely just overwhelmed with what I've already achieved so far. And I never would have thought that I could have done anything like what I've achieved so far. So, you know, honestly, if that's as good as it gets, and, you know, if there is no more, then that's fine. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm going to see what happens. I'm signed up to race Ironman Cairns again this year. That is the only shot for Kona. There is no backup. So if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And, you know, that'll be fine. But, yeah, obviously, you know, I'd like to go out and have a good race at Cairns again. I've won my age group the last 2 years there. So, but, you know, we'll see what happens. But I just want to go out and enjoy it and do the best that I can do on the day. And if that means Kona, that means Kona, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. But I think there's hopefully a good chance that I will have a good year, and just see what happens.
As far as I'm quietly chuckling to myself, because I love, and it's like this with endurance sport. People say, I'm never going to do that. And here's you who's said you're never going to do an Ironman, and you're going back for another one. And if Kona happens, it happens. What's the attraction to the long stuff? I mean, there's an attraction to do one, but there's something that keeps you coming back for more. What do you think that is, Sarah?
I think it's because I'm doing quite well at it, to be honest. Yeah, that's if I wasn't doing it as well, I'm pretty sure that I wouldn't want to just keep flogging myself. But yeah, I think for me, it's let's see what I can do. It's because I've already achieved more than I ever thought I could, and why not keep going with it and just ride the wave.
And what keeps you interested? I think a lot of people come into the sport, and I've said this before on the podcast, is they burst onto the scene and they gung-ho about this triathlon and Ironman thing, and you see them for a season or two, and then they go. They burn themselves out and they've gone. What are you doing to keep yourself sort of fresh and invigorated and loving the sport? Because you obviously do.
Yeah, I think perhaps it comes back to maybe something I touched on earlier with the training thing. Like, I think some people just think, you know, more is more, and you've just got to, you know, just go as hard as you possibly can and do as much training as you possibly can. And I don't agree with that. And I think that having, you know, probably I'm a little bit more chilled out in my approach to it, perhaps, than some people. And I think that that has helped with the a bit more longevity, you know, rather than just, yeah, just going, you know, this is what I want to achieve. And, you know, like, I mean, yeah, it's good to have goals, but sometimes if you, you know, keep setting goals for yourself that sometimes you don't meet, then, you know, that can be demotivating maybe. But yeah, I think, you know, that perhaps if you're, you know, if you're just flogging yourself all the time because you want to achieve something and you don't achieve it, then, you know, you're going to get fed up with continually just, you know, pushing and not maybe getting where you think you should, you know, from what you're putting into it. Whereas I don't know, I kind of feel like I'm perhaps, yeah, I guess a bit more laid back about it all. I'm not sure, maybe.
You're probably also well placed as a physiotherapist, because you probably see the effects of flogging yourself to death and dealing with athletes who do push themselves over the edge. And I think that's also one of the things that I think frustrates a lot of people, is they push really hard, they break down, and then they try and come back too quickly, break down again, and that sort of then that frustration burns them out. I'm sure you've seen that quite a bit as a physio.
Yes, I've seen a lot of that. And also, you know, there's different ways of looking at injuries and things. And I think, I tend to, sometimes disagree with, the opinions of, you know, other physios, and I tend to take a bit more of a holistic and biopsychosocial approach to treatment rather than, you know, just strictly biomedical stuff. And I think I'm pretty lucky in the way that I've perhaps been able to manage injuries and niggles and things because of that. Whereas, yeah, I think the way that perhaps maybe more traditionally or, sort of the way that you know, sort of strength and conditioning type approach would go, is that, you know, I don't know if I completely agree with the way that some injuries are managed, then, is perhaps, should we say.
Absolutely, especially in endurance sport, because, yeah, you can do some serious damage if you don't do things properly. But I'm no medical practitioner, and I'm not going to dish out medical advice here, that's for sure. But Sarah, it's been great catching up. I look forward to talking about the individual disciplines and some of the things you've done to improve them over time, but we'll save that for another day. Thanks for your time on the Kona Edge today.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge, I want to invite you to check out the Coach Parry Training Club. The Coach Parry Training Club is the essential resource for anyone at any stage of their triathlon journey. Whether you're just starting out in the sport and training for your first sprint distance race, or if you've been around the block a few times and are looking to take your Ironman performance to the next level, then the Coach Parry Training Club can help you. Developed by double Olympic and Commonwealth Games triathlon coach Lindsay Parry and myself, the Coach Parry Training Club is the go-to online platform for your training needs. It's like having a coach in your pocket. Get 20% off when you join the Coach Parry Training Club by using the coupon code KONA at checkout. Head over to thekonaedge.com/coach or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/coach.